Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your host, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Tooley, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampstead, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today, and how are you?
Good morning, and I'm doing well today. How about you?
I am doing well, thank you. Well, I want to thank the listeners for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be discussing enriching your life with Kriya Yoga. But before we begin, Swami, can we take a few minutes just to recap our last four shows that we have had?
Yeah, I think that might be a good idea just for anybody who might be just tuning in or just listening to this particular show. That, first of all, I mean, the first show that we did was Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. And that's what I think is very different about our approach to yoga, is that we have a very specific goal and not just some abstract image of divinity, but our concept of the divine is the force right now supporting your life. It's our connection to our number one need and how that becomes a platform that starts to change everything. Then our next show, we talked about, you know, what does it look like when I am connected to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance? And we talked a little bit about how humans that do make this internal connection, that they change their nature. That whatever it is that our physical bodies desire is going to determine our nature. And one of the things that we talked about was that humans have the capacity to resonate at different levels of consciousness, different degrees of awareness. And so if we are attached to particles, then we have a tendency to be of an animal nature. If we are attached to waves, we have the tendency to be of a human nature. And if we are attached to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance, what the books call God, then we become of a divine nature. And whatever the changes that take place when you are drawing from these resources is what we call yoga. That it's very specific, that you want to be attached to your number one need and not something that is dualistic, fear and limitation. And so in the next class we talked, or the next show, we talked a little bit about that this doesn't happen by accident, that this is something that we have to set up and we have to make it happen, that there is a lot of preparatory work that has to be in place, because we're coming up against forces that our physical bodies, which have all the power of preservation and survival, have no vision and no discernment. And they come in with a pattern. We look for food, we look for mother, we look for approval. So all the forces are drawn towards particles. Now, one of the things that we have to do is we have to separate from our attachment to that source of sustenance and then reconnect to something that's invisible and intangible. And that's what we were saying. It's very important to have good leadership, that your instruction has to be very precise, because there's only one God, there's only one truth, there's only one number one need. And everything else was what they called a sin. It missed the mark. There's only one way that this goes right. And every religion on this planet in its original format is a game plan in order to educate a person how to separate from one source of sustenance and reconnect to another. But the preparatory work, one of the most important things is that we have to purify our bodies. That if your body is longing for something tangible, you cannot get this invisible, intangible source of sustenance into it. So that was one of the prerequisites that we talked a little bit about. So that if you haven't purified your body, then of course you can't get spirit in, and chances are that you may be identifying a lesser experience with this true mystical state of being. And then last week, we talked a little bit about the benefits of having this internal connection, internal support, having a relationship with something that is producing the feeling in your body that you're good enough initially. When the availability of what you really do need has been internalized in your body, when you have this inner marriage, there is a calmness, a confidence, and a clarity that comes because your body isn't looking for something. It has what it needs. Matter and mind came together with new information. And so today, what we probably want to try and do is talk about, you know, how to employ that, you know, which coming back to, you know, one of the original precepts of our understanding of yoga is that it works on the formula that how we think is what we become. And everything is going to be relative to that. What you're thinking, how you're breathing, what you're drinking, what you're eating, and how you're exercising. Everything is going to affect how we think, how we feel, and how we perform. But the benefit of this union of the individual with the divine is that initially, the programming that we come in with, our minds are relatively small. And when your mind is small, you kind of feel like a victim because there is a huge portion of your reality that's outside your field of awareness. We kind of feel like everything is happening to us. Now, with the rebirthing of the body in this other energy field, when matter and mind now come together with truth and wholeness, that's the one dynamic that will impregnate the seed of your mind. And then when matter and mind come together with that information, provided you maintain the connection, there is a gestation period that your mind will start to open. And when your mind starts to open, with that comes your field of awareness. And as your field of awareness starts to increase, with that comes your scope of power. So we actually make the transition that we go from the victim to the creator. And I want to say that would be, you know, probably one of the ways that you could start to employ your practice of yoga almost immediately.
I do know that when in your classes, whether it's an asana class or Theory 2 classes or even mantra, I know one of the things that you say all the time is how we breathing affects our thinking. Is that something that you would say to our listeners out there, that's where they should start, and that's how they're going to enrich their lives with Kriya Yoga?
Well, yeah, that, you know, I mean, it's, again, coming back to what we say, I mean, it's all important. You know, I mean, it's not just, well, this is the one you want to focus on, because to try and understand it, you know, to understand the scientific part of it, that thought is an energy, it's capable of producing effects, but it's all measurable based on the amount of strength that we emit it with. It's belief that gives thought the power of intention. That's why in the medical community there's, you know, a 30-something percent placebo effect when they do double-blind studies. The power of the human mind can be limitless. If you emit a thought with belief, it will have the power of intention. So where do we start? You know, starting with the relationship between how I breathe and how I think. But I think even more important than that is to think right. You know, to actually start to be able to use what you need to produce the feeling in your body that I'm good enough. Because that's one of the biggest barriers, you know, that we're still drawing from particles or waves. We're drawing from a dualistic dimension of reality. And when we emit a thought, it has the burden of doubt. You know, we don't believe that we're good enough. It's the connection to spirit, to the divine, this connection to truth and wholeness that gives the feeling of calmness and confidence, so that then as we start to change our thoughts, we can emit them with the power of intention, because you believe that you're good enough. And then, of course, you know, coming back to what we have been saying, that we try and water down, you know, the system of yoga, and we try and shortcut everything. And, you know, we're all looking for, you know, how to do this without following the procedure. But it really doesn't work that way. You know, in fact, it kind of reminds me of, last year I redid the website, and web design is just such an exact science. And when you're doing web design, the program that I use gives me design view, and it also gives me code view, which is how I view the human experience, you know, that we have the physical manifestation of reality, but then underlying matter is the realms of mind. So underlining what surrounds us is this whole other language that we have to learn how to interpret. We have to learn how to read, because our thoughts are what's going to shape our reality. Our inner subjective state creates this biomagnetic force field that causes the outside world to respond to us. So a big part of it is understanding the language of the mind, understanding how to use imagery in order to order things that are more in sync with what it is that you are looking to manifest. And when you learn how the mind works, and you learn your chakra system, and you learn all of the different facets, and then you learn to rebirth the body in the life force so that you believe that you can, then you're behind the forms. That's when you have made the transition from victim to creator. And where you start with that is that you start with your path of action, your path of knowledge, and your path of devotion. You know, it's really hard to pinpoint how it all works, just like when you're doing web design. You know, you really have to have it all together. You can't just say, well, you know, the cascading style sheets, you know, aren't important. I'm just going to focus on the HTML language. You know, because they all work together. And the same with these strategies that are recommended with the science of yoga. You know, that this concept of total consciousness is a viable human enterprise, but it can't be shortcutted. You know, that you really have to pay attention to the details. You know, even to the point when you're doing web design, I mean, if you have one character wrong, you can't figure out why, you know, the design page isn't doing what it is that you want it to do. And the same with a yoga practice. It's the relativity of everything. How everything is relative upon the outcome that you're trying to get. And it's a very exact science.
Okay, Swami, you know, I think what we need to do right now is we need to pause from our discussion, if you don't mind, so we can hear a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back.
Okay, well, I'll hold that thought, and we'll be right back.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303
or www.ipdtransform.com.
Namaste. Okay, well, we are back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Welcome back, Swami.
Welcome.
I have a question for you. I was talking to a fellow co-worker, and we were talking about spirituality, and we were discussing our radio program, and we were talking about the having a meeting with the divine, and she had said to me, well, that's the same as, you know, to release and let God, isn't it? And I said, well, no, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm going to pose that question. So my question to you is how is that phrase different? Because I know I have heard that phrase many times before, and it's in a lot of spiritual written works that are out there to release and let God. What is your take on that, and what is the difference between that and what we're trying to do here, and that is to create that union with the divine?
Yeah, I think the whole concept of release has a tendency to be an oversimplification of something that is a little bit more complicated. You know, mm-hmm. The concept of release and let God is very passive. I think a similar concept in yoga is the concept of detachment, which, you know, seems to be a very common phrase that they use, to be detached. Or in the Buddhist community, the whole thing of no mind, stop thinking. And a lot of that is, you know, I mean, it's advice, if you understand how to do that, to be detached. But like we were saying, see, we're all codependent. We all have a physical body. We all have needs, and we all have desire. And to just passively try and ignore that doesn't produce the same return as if you actively detach from one source of sustenance and attach to another. See, the proactive side isn't that you release and let God. It's the Christian concept that you must love the Lord thy God with your heart, your soul, and your mind. It is the yoga concept of brahmacharya, or it is the true Buddhist understanding of we must desire the void or the nothing. See, that we all have desire. We all have a physical body. And whatever your body is attached to, whatever it is that we desire, is going to determine our nature. And coming back to what we had said, if we desire particles, we will be of an animal nature. If we desire waves, we will be of a human nature. But if you desire the void, you will be of a divine nature. And that's the more proactive side, that it's not a release. It is a very active attachment. It is a sincere desire for the void. And, of course, it's that relationship, that internal connection that starts to change who we are. That was what initiated this progressive cycle that we called apotheosis.
So
does that
possible,
answer your question?
You know, I think it does. But, you know, talking to people, you know, every day, and we have a different way of living than maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, where everything is happening so fast. Everybody wants, you know, their products now. They want their food instant. They want this. You know, everything is much more accelerated. So I think some people find it challenging, you know, to be able to be spiritual in this fast-paced world that we have. And I think it's helpful, you know, especially attending the Theory 2 classes that we have, when we talk about, well, how can we take yoga off the mat and employ it into our everyday life? And it really is a great exercise to be able to work in an environment that that can be stressful and employ all these spiritual strategies and just, you know, like you say, you know, take a breath and do that quarter turn, you know, and turn to God, and that helps make everything small. Am I explaining that right?
Right, because what you want to use and employ this is as a practical guide for highly effective living. You know, that you don't have to live in a cave. You don't need a controlled environment. You know, that your relationship with your divinity becomes your anchor. And I like it the way that Yogi Bhajan would say, if you don't see God everywhere, you don't see God anywhere. That God is the force that permeates everything. And if you need to be in a particular, I want to say, location or place in order to have that feeling, then you're drawing from the wrong symbol. You know, but when you have this relationship with your number one need, as long as you have the forces that are really important to you and you feel connected to them, then you have objectivity. You know, now you can reduce whatever it is that you are experiencing to a smaller degree of urgency. You know, sometimes to the degree that you're able to manage things much more intelligently and you're not controlled by them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, say, for example, I mean, at work, you know, I mean, there's pressure that you might have to make a sale. And if, you know, you don't make your numbers for the month or the week, you know, that your position is in jeopardy. Well, I mean, that has a certain call, I want to say, to response for me. But I don't have to respond as if I'm going to die. You know, because the worst possible scenario is I lose my job. I don't lose my life. And that's what we try and do is that it's not going to negate what's happening in the outside world, but it's going to give you the skill so you can support your sense of self internally. Have objectivity, detachment from it, that I don't need the sale, it's a want.
Right.
I don't need the job. It's a want.
Right. I think that's something.
And then from there, you know, then from that vantage point, you're able to make better choices.
Sure.
And then, of course, you know, the more connected you are to this source of sustenance, the more behind the forms you are, the more you can start to use your mental imagery to actually make effect changes in the outside world so that you will become a better salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, and you'll be able to do it by emitting the thoughts, asking for what you want with the belief that you're good enough to get it, but without any fear. You know, when you emit that thought with the calmness and the confidence that comes with this internal connection, then it has the power to affect change. And then, of course, you know, I think we might have talked a little bit about this in one of the earlier classes, the whole thing of shaping your life. You know, that we base it on needs, wants, and purpose. You know, and trying to balance that is of the utmost importance, because sometimes changes in the outside world start to happen and we don't see how it fits into the context of a bigger plan for us. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you don't make the sale. Sometimes you lose the job, but then something different presents mm-hmm. itself and you can start to see how that fits into a bigger picture of a sense of, you know, what is my collective purpose?
Right. I think some of the problem is that people identify themselves with what they do as opposed to who they really are. Like, I am not my job. I am so much more than that. And I think that
right.
that there, just that realization alone is pivotal in turning towards spirit and especially, you know, the stepping stone to creating that unity with the divine.
Yeah, it absolutely. It is a big factor, you know, in establishing your identity. You know, that's the beauty of the concept of total consciousness. Is it's not a loss of self-conscious awareness, but it is a more inclusive point of identification. You don't lose your sense of self. In fact, you have a very strong sense of self, but
right.
you have a strong sense of self in the context of a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. You can still live in this world and still have that connection. And that connection that makes everything possible.
Right. And from that position of strength, you're always able to shape your inner state to fit the demands of the world because you're behind the forms. Well, we could probably start to sum up what
I was just going to say. Some excellent information. Yeah, if we can just do a quick summary and then we can sign off. Mm-hmm. Well, that was an excellent program. Thank you for that. So today we were discussing how to enrich our lives with Kriya Yoga. I invite all of our listeners to please contact us if you have any questions or thoughts or curiosities. Please email us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter. I believe we're probably on every social media. Please pin us. We're actually on Pinterest as well. You can follow us there. Anyway, thank you, Swami, so much again for your time and your wisdom. It is much appreciated. I'm sure our listeners are getting such valuable information from you.
Well, namaste.
Thank you, listeners, and we are the Voice of Yoga, and tune in for our show for next week. Thank you, and have a great day. Namaste.